Welcome to Camp Glory's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed this week's encouraging message by Pastor Sam Fine. For more information, please visit kingofglorycc.com.
I want to share with you a word that's kind of expounded upon. I developed it last week. I started talking about the strength that is given to us as we praise God in our inner man, the strength that comes to us as we worship the Lord. Today, I want to take it one step further, and I want to talk about the power of praise. And I want to start out the message today by sharing a story that I read the other day in a book called The Power in Praise by Merlin Carers. Jim's father had been an alcoholic for 30 years. And Jim's mother had been praying, and then later on, he and his wife had been praying for his father for these 30 years with no apparent result. They weren't seeing any activity for all those years. And the problem was that Jim refused to admit that he was an alcoholic. And he got very irate when somebody shared Jesus with him. He would just stalk out of the room and he would just become very belligerent, and he wouldn't have anything to do with God. And then one day, Jim heard a message by Merlin about the power that's released when we begin to praise God instead of pleading with him to change the situation because we don't like it. And so he came home and he shared the message with his wife, how he had never praised God for his father's situation. For the rest of the day, they just began to give thanks, and they began to praise God all day long. And by evening, they felt a sense and even an excitement and an anticipation that God was getting ready to do something. The next day, the parents came over to their usual Sunday dinner visit. And always before, Jim's father would come in and he'd sit down and he'd eat his meal real fast and then he would leave. He'd get out of there because he never wanted to have any close, intimate discussions with his family that would talk to him about his alcoholic issue. But this time, over a cup of coffee, he suddenly asked a very pointed question. He said to his son, Jim, he says, what do you think about this Jesus revolution? Jim just kind of looked at him like, what? He turned to him and he said, I saw something on the news last night, and is this just a fad that's going on, or is it something that's happening to these young people's lives that's really helping them and getting them off of drugs and all the activity that they're doing? Is it really working? He asked a very honest question. Well, that question led to a lengthy, open discussion that eventually led his father to admit that he was an alcoholic, and then he received the Lord Jesus Christ at that table and began to praise the Lord with all of his heart and began to lift up a shout, and he is in unison with his family now testifying all over to whomever he comes in contact with, that if we will praise God, God's power will be released in a situation and can change something that has been dead for 30 years. Something that you've not seen any activity in which, as they lifted up praise unto the Lord, the situation changed in one day. And Jim said this, he said, just think. He said, for 30 years, we prayed for God to change Dad. We spent only one day praising him for the situation, and look what happened. You know, it's hard to be thankful unless we really believe that an all-powerful and loving Father is going to work everything together for good. It's really hard for us sometimes to step in and fully can embrace that our loving Father can take very difficult, hard situations and can work it all together for your good. It's very hard to imagine something that you've been in for a long time and you've seen nothing change in the natural, nothing in the physical, and to still praise God with all of your heart, believing in His Word. Because God keeps His Word. His Word cannot fail. It cannot go void in your situation. So His Word is all powerful. Romans 8:28 says this. You all know this verse, I'm sure, by heart, right? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. I want to ask you a question. Are you surrounded by a difficult circumstance right now in your life? Can you look at your life and evaluate it, and can you say that there is something going on that is extremely difficult right now, presently going on? Have you been struggling to understand why you've even come to it or why this has even happened? I mean, these things can begin to go in our mind as we begin to process the circumstance that really looks bad. And where I believe God wants to take us is to begin to understand that our trying to understand things is the very first problem. Yeah. Do you know that sometimes we want to understand something before we believe something? And understanding a situation can actually become idolatry. When you say, I want to figure this out before I really believe it. I mean, to try to understand what happened to Waldy and Doris 5 years ago when their best friend was martyred and killed by the Al-Qaeda. God spoke to Waldy and said, will you not be offended with me? And in that moment, we so much want to understand, God, why did you allow this person to get killed? That it's so much derail, it can derail someone's life when we sit here and we try to figure out those things that are so difficult and we can't accept it and believe it, that possibly God has allowed that. What if He had allowed that to happen for good? To bring about something for good, to work together everything for good in the situation, in their family, in the region that they were ministering, in their own personal lives. God is the master worker, and He's able to take the most difficult and hard, painful situations and can turn it all around for good. I love what Chris Vallotton says. If it's not good yet, then God hasn't worked together everything yet. So, He is the master at work. So, we are to praise Him for what even has come into our lives. And I know that that just seems kind of, well, it just doesn't seem right at times. Praise Him for difficult situations. Praise Him for the heartache and the pain that has come into your life. Well, the scripture is very clear about it. And I want you to turn with me real quick to this scripture. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, verse 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It is. It is God's will for you to give thanks in everything. That doesn't mean the good. That means the good and the bad. You know, we're programmed just to worship God in the good, not in the bad. God can't possibly be a part of the bad. But there are situations that happen that God allows, that He allows to happen in people's lives, and I don't understand the infinite mind of God and why He allows certain things to happen, but I know that He sees everything and understands everything, and in that situation, on a moment on a dime, he can flip it and turn it around for your good. A man that struggled with alcoholism for 30 years would not even admit it when his son and his daughter-in-law began to worship the Lord with all of their heart and thank the Lord for their dad for the last 30 years of being in alcoholism. God, we thank you for everything, and we praise you for what our father has gone through. We worship you, for you are worthy of all praise. At that moment, something began to shake and happen in the spirit. There began to be movement, and God's power began to be released into it to change, to be a change element, to turn everything around for good. I want to challenge you this day. We must sincerely accept and thank God for everything that has come into our lives. And I know that sometimes there are some things that have happened in my life, and I'll be honest with you, I really wish it wouldn't have happened, and I wish that it would just have gone away. But I can stand here today and I can say, God, I thank you for everything that I've gone through in my life, because I am seeing the fruit of goodness manifest in my life as I thank him for the pain, for the heartache, for the challenges, for the things I didn't understand. I said, God, I'm going to worship you in all of it. And I know that a change has even happened in here, that there's a joy and a peace and an excitement that wasn't there. That I know that the fruit of what God has done has also changed my heart, not only the external situations around me. And when we begin to do that, my challenge to you is this, is to believe that God hears the thankful heart in a difficult situation. I think that honors him so much. And in that, power is released into that situation and can bring transformation. It might not happen the next day, but if you stay in it and continually praise him through it, he is going to turn it all around with his power. Psalm 22:3 says this, "Yet you are holy, and O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel." I mean, listen, no wonder God's power and presence is available to us when we praise him. That word enthroned literally means that God sits on you. I mean, it literally means he comes and sits on top of you, and God's power is there with you to see things happen in a mighty way. 2 Chronicles 20 is an incredible story. It's one of the most incredible stories of the power of praise. In all history, this had to be one of the most unconventional ways to try to defend a country under siege, is by sending your worship leader out front to worship the Lord with getting the band, Mike, Daniel, let's get the worship team, and we're going into battle with China, but don't worry, God is with us, but we're going to put you out front. So you guys all go out front, all the band, get the drummers, and everybody, you guys go worship, and I'm wondering if he's doing that because he said, well, if they get taken out, at least I can run, But the reality was is that this was one of the most unconventional ways to defend a country. And in that, we see one of the most powerful moves of God ever witnessed in the Bible. The story goes like this. Word was given to Jehoshaphat that the king of Judah, he was told that the three armies were approaching from the south, Ammon, Moab, and Seir. These three kingdoms were coming together, and they were going to decimate Judah and all the people that lived in the land. And so as these invaders were coming, Jehoshaphat called a prayer meeting, which is a good thing to do when you're the enemy's coming in. He called a prayer meeting, and basically he had all the people throughout the land come together. And in the midst of all the people, Jehoshaphat stands up and prays in verse 6. He says this, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against you. And as the king continued, the people's spirits were strengthened. They were encouraged by what the king was declaring and praying. And then verse 12, it says, O our king, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Don't you love that? Just the humility of his heart saying, God, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to focus my eyes and my attention on you and not on the circumstances. And then the young priest named Jehaziel prophesied with a loud voice in verse 15. Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. How many times do we wrestle with difficult situations feeling like the battle is ours? There are so many times that I wrestle with a situation in my mind, and I go into battle into the ring. I'm there defending my children, defending my wife, and I'm fighting the enemy, and I'm praying, and I'm calling down angels of heaven, and I'm worn, and I'm going to battle, and I am worn out. And in that, I mean, it could be over a long period of time where I feel like it's my duty to go to battle and to destroy every demon in hell. When the Lord is saying, it's my battle. Are you going to trust me to do what I do best and to defend you? Or are you going to try with all of your might, ability, skill, talent, anything you got to defend your wife and your children? I have many sleepless nights because I've realized the battle was really not mine. You know, the enemy's desire is to draw you into the ring. You know, he wants to get you into the ring so he can clean your clock. He gets you into the ring because he knows, I mean, he's the ancient foe. He's been around for 4,000, five, I don't know how many thousands of years, but he's been around a long time. And he knows the frame of man better than anybody. And he knows your weaknesses. And he knows if you try to go into the battle, into the ring, in your own strength and your own abilities, and try to fight for your family, for your children, for whoever, he's got you. And it will not be pretty when you come out of that ring. But why don't we just stand on the side of the ring and say, you know what, Father, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And I ask, Father, now, would you fight the battle for me? And I trust you, Lord, now to go before me and to destroy the works of darkness and allow the Lord to step in the ring. I mean, it's not even a fight. I mean, as soon as he steps in, it's like, oh, I mean, the devil runs. I mean, he's not even able to contend with Almighty God. It's not like they're wrestling back and forth. Okay, who's going to win this match? I mean, it's not a match. The victory's already been won. God just declares the victory, and the enemy is defeated.
Yeah.
So you will not need to fight in the battle. God's message through Jehaziel continues. He says, position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Yeah. So then King Jehoshaphat bowed to the ground and worshiped. The whole crowd bows with him, and they begin to praise God. So the next morning, As the troops made preparations for battle, King Jehoshaphat, he encouraged them in verse 20. He says this, "Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord, your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed." The king consulted with the people, and it was decided. We're going to put Daniel Webb and Mike Betancourt in the front, and they're going to lead us all in worship before all of these armies. So, they're out front, and you know, as they began to praise the Lord, Jehoshaphat instructed them in verse 21, he says this, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." Now, that was the song that they were to sing. And see, they were giving thanks to God in advance for the victory that he had promised the day before. Wow. See, they were there giving him thanks and praise, saying, "Woo, this is going to be good." I mean, these were like three armies. We're talking 100,000 troops all in this valley. And then, can you imagine those guys on the other side? They're like, "Oh, this is going to be good." And so all of a sudden, the worshipers are out front, and they're singing and dancing and praising the Lord, and boom, God sets the ambush. God moves in that situation to where all of a sudden Ammon and Moab, all of a sudden defeats all of Mount Seir, all those troops. And then Ammon and Moab all of a sudden began fighting each other, and they all laid dead in this valley. It says that as Jehoshaphat and all of Israel looked down into the valley, all they saw were dead corpses, and not one was living. Now, I don't know how God did that, but it all was released as they were obedient to the word. They trusted God. They had faith that God was going to work this whole thing together for good. But as they worshiped the Lord, God's power was released. His power was released into that situation, and he decimated every one of them. I don't know how God set the ambush, but I don't care. I just like the story. It ends great. It says, Jehoshaphat and his men gathered so many valuables from the bodies that it took them 3 days to collect everything. That's a lot of valuables. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, which means what? The valley of praise. And there they blessed God and they returned home with joy, for the Lord had triumphed over their enemies.
Yeah.
And then it says that the fear of God came upon all the neighboring kingdoms around them. And they were like, "Man, we don't want to mess with them." And it says that they were at peace on all their borders all the days that Jehoshaphat was king over Israel. I mean, this is an amazing story of the testimony of the power that is released in our praise. But, you know, it's just not praise. Praise is an act of faith. When you praise him in a very difficult situation, it's an act of faith. It is you saying, "I believe God, you are able to do something in this situation that we've not seen any movement or activity for so many years, but we're going to trust your word because the battle is yours. It's not mine." You know, if you have someone in your family that you know of that doesn't know the Lord, they might even be involved in a lifestyle that isn't right. It might be that you have addictions in your family. You know of a situation where there is no outcome possible in the natural. I want to encourage you today to take some time with the Lord It might take all day. But I want you to praise him for the situation. And you might think, but it's bad. I know. But his word says to give thanks in everything. That doesn't mean just give thanks in the good things. It's give thanks in the bad things. And let's let God be God and work it all together for good. And see a miracle. Let's see a breakthrough. Let's see the Spirit of God hover over that situation. And where it might seem dead, all of a sudden, it has come alive. Believing God's word makes it clear that the only way out of a difficult dilemma is a step of faith in praise. And we can see our Father do like he just did with Jehoshaphat. You know, if Jehoshaphat wanted to understand his situation before he trusted God, we might be reading of a different account in the Word of God today. If he stepped out and tried to fight the enemy. So can we praise the Lord for everything? Can we praise the Lord even for the hard things that have even been done to you in your own personal life? I think that's probably one of the most hardest things to praise God in, is when things have been done to you that are painful. And I know it hurt. And I know it wounded your heart. But God wants to set your heart free. He wants to bring healing to your broken heart. I feel like the Lord is revealing that there's some here that have been hurt very deeply. And the Lord wants to bring healing in that area and release his warm healing balm to that place that has been very hurt by things done to you. But as you, as an act of faith, say, Lord, I don't understand why this happened to me, but I'm going to put my eyes on you and I'm going to worship you and praise you for all that has happened. And I believe today hearts are going to be touched and healed. Because my God said so. He said so. So would you all stand with me?
Thank you for listening to King of Glory's Sermon of the Week. Connect with us on Instagram at KOG_Asheville and on Facebook at facebook.com/KOG Asheville.